There's a lot of pause in between the trucks coming, so there's time to do both. We will be starting at 9 o'clock for the cleanup. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. So, Pastor Roy?
Okay, good. Well, as I was just kind of preparing and, you know, seeking the Lord for this morning, you know, as we take a turn here towards worship, you know, I just felt the Lord really wanted to say to us that He loves you. He loves you. And that song that was playing on the radio when I was thinking about this was, and you probably remember it, it says, "Oh no, never let go. The Lord will never let go of you." And that's just a symbol of the great love that the Lord has for us. You know, and I don't know how your life has been this last week or the last 2 weeks, but for me it's been crazy. It's been going one thing after the other, a constant. You know, and it takes a lot of perseverance and a lot of discipline to just be able to pause and to just say, all right, I'm going to shake off what I've been doing and just rest in the presence of the Lord. And I want to encourage you this morning that as we are here, you know, take a deep breath. Just lay down the things that have been, you know, you've been doing the this past week, and just say, Lord, I'm here. I'm here for you. You know, and some of that takes is an element of trust. You know, trusting the Lord that it's like, well, what about all these things that I need to do or that has to get done? Well, you know what? He'll make sure they're done. And they'll get done in a much better attitude and a much better countenance if we just are able to lay it at His feet. You know, we can look in the Bible, and I was also brought to remembrance of, you know, the Israelites as the Egyptians were chasing after them, you know, after they left Egypt. And they were up against the Red Sea, and the Lord performed the miracle of parting the waters, you know, and He actually, I can't remember that I remembered this, but as I was looking at that passage, it actually says that, you know, as the Egyptians were traveling through the Red Sea, that the Lord basically thwarted them, you know, or caused some troubles for them, and the wheels fell off of their chariots, you know, that started to drag them down. Talking about having a bad day. It got worse than once the Red Sea crushed over them or went over them then. And they were defeated. And the Israelites saw the victory of the Lord. And as we read further along in Exodus, we see that how quickly then they got off of the victory and what the presence of the Lord did at that time. And they got to the complaining and, oh, why did we leave Egypt? You know, and sometimes we find ourselves in that boat as well. But today, I want to encourage each one of us to focus on what the Lord has done and the victories that He has done in our lives. And actually speak a word of faith. Speak faith into your life and into your situation and say, Lord, I am going to thank You and praise You for the things that You are going to do, that You are about to do in my life. And in this place this morning. So will you stand with me as we begin worship?
Thank you. Victory. Yeah. never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails. It never gives up.
That it never gives up. Lord, that it never runs out on us. Lord, we're so grateful for the love that you have for us. God, the scripture says that we love you because you first loved us. Oh, God, we was an unlovely bunch. Lord, but you saw something in us. Lord, something in it on our own. Sometimes we fail to find it. Lord, but you saw it. And you sent your son Jesus to die a horrible, excruciating death. Suffered much pain, much sorrow, much agony, much shame. And ultimately hung on a cross. With nails in his hands and in his feet. Because of your love. Lord, forgive us. When we doubt it, God. Lord, that we could ever imagine. For one second. That you don't love us. We thank you, God. Lord, I just ask you right now, God, just let your anointing rest upon me, Father. Lord, I just want to be a vehicle for your love this morning, that's all. Just love us this morning, God. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of those days, doing the best I can, but I feel Jesus. I've been feeling it for a while. Remember the other week I said I hadn't felt him. Amazing, isn't it? Wow. Excuse me. Wednesday night, Dave Geffer was preaching. And he was Dave. You know, he was talking about believing and faith and love and grace, and he was getting redder
and redder and redder and redder. And, you know, some of us, we're chuckling, you know, like we do. But something different happened to me Wednesday night when I watched it. I seen him with different eyes Wednesday night. What usually is just Dave and just us enjoying him getting excited, God allowed me to see revelation. God allowed me to see the revelation that was being imparted to Dave that causes him to get redder and redder and redder. And how when he's sharing, the truth is so real to him. And what he's trying to do, and some of us might have missed it Wednesday night, he was trying to transfer somehow, some way, that revelation to us that God was giving to him. That's all I want to do this morning. I want God to transfer the revelation of his great love to all of us this morning. This song, I mean, all the other ones were coincidence, but the last one wasn't. I asked for it, and I asked that it be last, but I was so blessed by the rest of them and the things it said and happened. That first song talked about the great exchange of his love and his grace, and then Roy, when he shared, talked about celebrating and celebration. And he talked about the song he heard that said, the great love of God never lets go. And then we sang about how we'll never fully realize just what you did when you died on that cross. And then we talked about loving him from the inside out. And he loves us from the inside out. He loves all of us. When we were singing that song a couple weeks ago, and the Lord impressed upon me to tell Jason to change the words and to go around as we were singing it and tell people, he loves you. He'll never fail you. He'll never give up on you. I was inspired by the Holy Ghost because somebody needed a hug from God that morning. Somebody needed to hear that God will never give up on them. That God will never let them go. That he's got his hand upon them. And I so thank the people that took it to heart. I know Sue Gepper was one. Man, she went around and looked people in the eye and let them know, man, his love never. He never gives up. He'll never run out on you. That was God. And some people received it. Have some water in it. And some people, maybe not so well. But I know all about that. Sometimes, some of you that week might have been like me sometimes. You was in a mood. Nobody ever gets in a mood, do they? The last thing you wanted was a hug from God or anybody else, because you didn't feel like it. But you needed it, whether you wanted it or not. And it made me think of the times when I'm in a mood. And Linda will come up and try. Emphasize the word try. She'll try to give me a hug. Well, sometimes I go along with it begrudgingly, and the arms will come up. Sometimes they stay just where they're at. And occasionally, they'll come up with a full embrace and receive it if I'm not in a mood. But I so thank God for a wife that'll show me she loves me even when I'm in an unlovable mood. That's our God. He loves us even when we're in an unlovable mood. And He still willing to wrap His arms around us and let us know that He loves us, even though it's the last thing in the world that we're interested in. God's good. God's good. He loves us. This song been stuck. I've been stuck on it. Linda the one day says, "Man, I'm singing that thing was playing in my brain all day." I said, "Good." You know, sometimes you get a song in that stuck in there that you don't really want that thing in there. But I said, "That's good." I said, because that's all the Word of God. Did you know that? That song is the Word of God. The very first one, "Love Never Fails." You know where that comes from? 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. This is love we're talking about. And don't forget in 1 John it says God's love. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can't argue with the Word, can you? That's a song of the Word. Hallelujah. And then in Matthew 28, Jesus said, "And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." Always. Let me see now. Always. What's always? It's always, ain't it? Always don't mean once in a while. Sometimes when you feel like I'm with you, when you think you did what you were supposed to do, so that I would be with you. That ain't what it says. He said, lo, I'm with you always. See, that's what Wednesday night, part of what Dave was trying to say was that God is inside of us. His spirit is inside of us. David said, if I go to the bowels of Sheol, you're there with me. Because he's inside of you. If you walk into the bar, I don't care what you'd say, Jesus just went into the bar with you. If you're doing something you ain't supposed to do, you just took Jesus right with you. You didn't deposit him at the door. You didn't leave him somewhere and go do what it is you were not supposed to do, and then come back later on and think you're going to pick Jesus back up and that then he's going to be with you. No, he's with you always, all the time, no matter what. Hallelujah. And then here's one that I like, got the words of the song. Hebrews 13:5. It says, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Oh, you know, people say never. Well, people can never say never because you can't trust people sometimes. When they tell you something, it might be a lie. But if God tells you something, it's no lie. When he says, I'm never leaving you, I'm never forsaking you, you can bet that he ain't leaving and he ain't forsaking. Hallelujah. Amen. His love never fails. He never gives up. Never runs out on me. His love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. 1 Corinthians 13, Matthew 8, Hebrews 13:5. Come on, it's the word of God. We're singing the word of God. My Lord. Wow. Man, oh man. You know, I had some notes and I had some different things, and we'll see what I get to with time. But I was just really, I just really felt like God wanted me to just say what he wanted me to say. You know, I had a couple things on my mind, and I thought we'd see where God takes it, you know, from there. Hallelujah. But I wanted to express my thoughts on that song because that thing has just, you know, And you know the thing about it? The Word of God will change you. See, now that's just a song, but it's the Word of God. And when you meditate on that thing, when that thing's buzzing over, I think there was only, I honestly could say, maybe there was 2 or 3 days, you know, that it kind of wasn't there. You know, I've been having a lot of back trouble, and I got an epidural. Steroid shot and all that. Steroids affect me horribly. I mean, God forgive me. You know, I'm getting one tomorrow. Pray with me that first off, that it works and does what it's supposed to do this time. And secondly, that God is bigger than the side effects in me, you know. And I went through a little irritable spell there, and it wasn't playing. That's when it needed to be playing. That's what I'm saying. But we're so we're so fickle. We're so subject to our feelings and our thoughts and what we think about, you know, and we forget what God said he'd do. You know, when I was praying, I mentioned how sometimes God forgive us when we think he's not with us, you know. How many times have you or I said, God, if you really loved me, oh, I don't even know where to start. God, if you really love me, my daughter-in-law wouldn't have cancer, you know, had cancer or whatever. My husband wouldn't be going through this. My son wouldn't have to experience this. My finances wouldn't be like they are. My, you know, put whatever you want to put on it. But how many times, God, if you really loved me, we make a judgment against God. It's true. We make a judgment and we make a wrong judgment against God. When we say, God, if you really love me, what's happening in your life ain't got nothing to do with whether or not God loves you. I'm going to tell you that right now. Sometimes life happens. Sometimes things happen to people. We're in a sin-sick world that's coming to an end here before too long. And evil is increasing, and with it, all the things that evil and sin represent. So life is going to happen, and things are going to happen. But it has nothing to do with whether or not God loves you. Don't make that. I'm serious. This came so strong to me this week that I wanted to share it with you. Because I told David on the phone, because, you know, he Wednesday night again, he told the story about how he called me up the one day and said, Frank, how come God don't love me? My God, that boy better never call me up and tell me that again. I'm going to smack him. I'll smack him because I don't want to hear it, because it ain't true. It's a lie. And I'm telling you right now, you ought to know better. And when it comes, when you start to want to think that way, you got to say, God, you know, this isn't true. You know, something's going on in my life. I may not understand it at all. I might not have a clue. I might wonder why. You know, because of my experience in growing up, like especially with me and not understanding the love of a father and all that kind of stuff, my mind thinks wrong. But I know that that's not true. Because your word says that you're, I didn't even read the First John one, did I? I mentioned it, but I didn't read it. But I'm going to read it in a minute. But your word says that you are love and that you always are with me and that you'll never forsake me and you'll never leave me. No matter what's happening, no matter what's going on. And see, with singing that song, that began to percolate in me. You know what I mean? And began to change some of my thinking and the way I done things and reacted to things and thought about things and all that. Like normally when I'm going to preach, well, that's a funny story. Well, it's not funny, but ain't funny how it happened. But it was an odd story, put it that way. You know, I come across Dick on my mail route on Wednesday, and it's actually one street off my mail route, rode by his house, and he says, "Hey, you're preaching Sunday. I said, "Nope." I said, "Ron Charles is preaching, and then Roy on the next Sunday, and then me on the last Sunday of the month." "Oh, okay." So we left it at that, talked, visited a little while. Well, then we come in Wednesday night, and we find out Ron Charles' son had a bad accident with a chainsaw, and he wasn't making it Sunday. And Roy was teaching downstairs this morning, and Pete's in the Philippines, and Dave's out in Ohio. So we were stuck. I mean, we were stuck. So I had no choice but say, yeah. Well, I could have. They would have brought in Steve Jones would have brought somebody in, but we didn't feel like we wanted to do that. You know, been so much money going out for things and special speakers, and since we had a chance, we thought, you know, get Frank. He's free. He's easy. Yeah. So, so far we're not anywhere I thought we'd be. Okay. Let me read 1 John to you just because I like it, and then I'll finish up on this song. It said, "Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love to us." This is how God showed his love to us. Okay? This is how God showed his love to us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we might ought also love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us, because he's given us his Spirit. And we've seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if anyone gets born again, if anyone accepts the price that Jesus paid, and you ask, "Lord Jesus Christ, come into my heart," God lives in them, and they live in God. And so we know and rely on the very love that God has for us. For God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment. Oh man, Lord, what are you doing? He might be talking about that day, that last day, but you know, the word, and it's just coming to me as I'm talking to you here, okay? So this is fresh, hot off the press. I don't even know what I'm about ready to say. So we can have confidence on that day of judgment. You know what that day of judgment is? That day you're feeling judgment. That day you're feeling condemned. That day you left this. Not what's inside here. But that day you left this. That flesh have its way to do the wrong thing, to say the wrong thing. And you're now feeling condemnation, that you're now feeling judgment. It's judgment day for you. The devil is now accusing you. You know Jesus. You're a Christian. You've been born again. You're a scum bucket. Look what you just did. Look what you just said. You have no reason to hope. You have no reason to have any joy. You have no reason to have any confidence. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence, not confidence in what we did, not confidence in what we didn't do, confidence in him, confidence in what he did, confidence in the price he paid, confidence in the love he has for us. Oh my God, we don't have no confidence in the flesh. The flesh will kill you every time. It'll eat you up. I know there's not much of me left anymore. I've been heating up so bad. My God. But I'm so thankful for this year. I'm so thankful for this, that we might grow in grace and the knowledge of him.
I'm so thankful that we've been praying in the hell that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we'd know what God's saying. I'm so thankful for revelation that God's pouring on the pastor and on Dave and on Roy and on all of you guys. Hallelujah. A little secret. You know how revelation comes? What was our, you ain't even going to remember probably. The verse I felt the Lord, the thing I felt the Lord had us for today. Delve into God in 2012. When you study, when you start meditating on the Word of God, revelation comes. You know, a lot of times we're saying, God, I ain't have no revelation. I ain't understanding nothing. I know my Bible been sitting there for 3 weeks and I ain't opened it up, but still you need to talk to me about this situation. Revelation don't come that way. Revelation comes when you're meditating on the Word. Hallelujah. And thank God, you know, I'm the first one to admit it. You know, I've been meditating on stuff more than I ever had. And it's making a difference in me. It ain't me. It's the Word of God in me. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And it's working from the inside out. It's changing me from the inside out. Am I still a knucklehead sometimes? Absolutely. But I know now not to let the knuckleheadedness bring judgment and condemnation upon me. Amen. Flick that thing off. Yeah, I screwed up. Thank you, Jesus. That's grace. We're talking about growing in grace. I'm not talking about a free ticket that lets you run all out and do whatever you want to do. You know, Paul addressed that in Romans 6. He said, well, where sin abounds, grace more abounds. Yes, it does, absolutely. Thank God. Praise the Holy One of Israel that it does. But that don't mean go out and do whatever I can bad. But see, what people don't understand when you start to share this kind of stuff, the mind, the natural mind, that law mind, starts thinking that way. But I found here of late, when you start really getting a hold of grace, when you start really understanding that just because you screwed up, you don't got to mully grub for 5 days. You ain't got to hide from God like they did in Genesis. You know, go get lost in the woods somewhere. Because God loves you and He's for you. And matter of fact, He ain't gonna to come looking for you. Because He's inside you. Jeepers, creepers. He's inside you. You think you did something? You think you're thinking about something? You think you messed up with something that He ain't going to have a clue about till you finally worm your way back to Him? Oh, God, by the way, in case you haven't noticed, I haven't been talking to you lately. The other day, yeah, I know about it already. That's why Jesus went to the cross. Every sin, everyone, from when the first human being stepped foot on this earth till the last one leaves this earth, was covered when Jesus died on the cross. Hallelujah! That's what I'm talking about. That's love. Love did that. Oh, come on. God in His love knows how to, He knows how the devil works. God in His love knew that the devil was going to jump on your case the first time you screwed up, even though you're a son of God
born again, talking in tongues, filled with the Holy Ghost even maybe, and bring condemnation on you. Oh, yeah, God knew that. God ain't no dummy. He's God. Hallelujah. That's why he did this. Romans 8. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Paul, you're so nice. Weaknesses. I got weaknesses. Oh, you're a sinner, you simp. You're doing crap you ain't supposed to do. But, okay, they're weaknesses. Let's use weaknesses this morning. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit, he intercedes for us with wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people according to the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who loved him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, and he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. God knew that day, 2 Corinthians 5:17 happened, when we accepted Christ and we became a new creature, when he deposited his Spirit in us, and we became new-natured human beings. He knew that we still had the soul and the body to work with. And he knew that changing them, that's why, you know, in Romans 12, talks about, you know, transforming by the renewing of the mind. He knew this was going to be a process. It wasn't going to just happen overnight, okay? But he had already, in spite of that, predestined us to eventually make it to the image of Christ. Now, we all know in the reality of walking as human beings, we ain't never going to be little Jesuses to the full extent here on this earth. But God can change us and make us like him along the way. Amen. Conformed to the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he called. And those he called, he justified. Oh, I love that word. There's a word. We can do a word search this morning. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. Oh. I'm not talking about getting off the hook for sinning, people. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about getting off the hook. But I'm talking about that hook that the devil puts in you that yanks you back because you messed up. Because now God don't love you anymore. Because you shamed him. You screwed up. You blew it. You messed up. You fell. And God ain't happy with that. So he left us know ahead of time. Oh, my Lord. That he was justifying us. That he was making up. When you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, that's it. On the inside, don't get me wrong now, on the inside, in my spirit, I'm as saved as I'm going to get. If I die the day I accept him, or 45 years later, I'm going to the same glory, hallelujah. I'm going to the same heaven that you're going to. Amen? Because I've been justified. It wasn't me. You can't do this thing. Hello? You can't do this thing. You can't work this. That's why God's love invented grace. Because he already had the law. But see, when I read about something, and when I read a rule, I don't know about you, but when I read a rule that says, don't do this, well, why not? I want to find out what's so bad about what this is that I ain't supposed to do. I'm going to do it and find out. Well, God knew that. That God was not surprised that nobody in the Old Testament up to Jesus, other than Jesus before he died on the cross, made it. Because the law wasn't never put there so you could make it. It was put there to show you you couldn't make it. And we still can't make it. That's why there's grace. Hallelujah. And those he justified, he also glorified. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's going to be a day I'm going to have me a glorified body, Jesus. Woo! I got a guy at work. He wants to ask about heaven all the time. You know, the Bible only says so much about heaven. I don't know about it. He says there's going to be beer up there. I said, there ain't going to be no beer up there. Well, it ain't going to be heaven if there ain't no beer up there. You know, well, maybe for you it ain't. You know, well, I don't like beer down here, and I sure don't want it up there. You know, I don't know what heaven is going to be, but I said, I tell you what, you're going to be glad you're there. You're going to be really glad you're there, because you're going to be really unhappy if you ain't there. Believe me. So what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who didn't spare his only son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring anything to the charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God that justifies. Who then is the one that really has the authority to condemn? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised. He died, but he was raised. See, if he died and come up, baby, it's over. But he raised. He's at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Well, this is off the subject a second, but it hit my brain. If Jesus is at the right hand of God, and I'm in Christ, Christ is in me, I'm going to be sitting at the right hand of God. See, right hand. Okay, he's on the left. Cool. Like, did you like it when, I really liked it when the kids, when Jesus and the Father, ooh, they was high-fiving, baby. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. God was so, man, God and Jesus, they had this plan, and it worked to perfection. So Jesus got there. See, now you and your religious thinking mind, you think that didn't happen. I'm going to tell you what, if I was a betting man, I'd bet they did it. I bet Jesus, when he rose and he flew up there and he got right there beside the throne, ain't that? Whoa, baby! Whoa! Man, you had that one pop, you had that one planned out to a T. Woo, my Lord. Yeah. Now all my brothers and sisters can come and join us. Oh, yeah. Not because of what you did. Not because of what you didn't did. It's because of what Jesus did. Amen. Hallelujah. Where am I at? Woo! Start to feel the Holy Ghost. Oh. Who then is the one that condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and us inside there too, and he's interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Come on. Now get, here's Jesus, okay? God's right there. He's sitting here, and you and you and me and you and you and you, somehow, I don't know what happened, we're all inside here. We're all inside Jesus, like 50 billion of us. I don't know how many people are on the earth. We're all inside of Jesus. And it says, who's going to separate you? Who's going to reach? Come on now. Who is going to reach into the heart of Jesus and pull you out of there? It ain't happening. It ain't going to happen. My Lord, shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. That's where the Bible ends. Your dumb thinking. The stupid things you do. The stupid things you say. The dumb way you act sometimes. The dumb things you believe sometimes. It ain't going to separate you. My God. You're in him. You're in him. Wow. Knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors. Oh, man. See, Jesus was the great conqueror. And we're in him. And we didn't do dilly squat. And we're conquerors. I'm up in heaven going, oh, yeah. I'm a conqueror, baby. Oh, yeah. I'm all excited about it. But I didn't do nothing. I'm a conqueror because he made me a conqueror. He laid it on me. What did he say? He laid it on a slab. I mean, he just laid it right out there. He's the one that took a whooping. He's the one that got whacked on and thorns jabbed in his head, nails in his hands. And then we say, Roland, I don't think God loves me anymore. Come on. After all that, I better never hear any one of you say that. I'll be mad at you. Oh, my Lord. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation is going to be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. I got a whole sermon there I didn't preach on the prodigal son. Robert, you'd like that one. Ooh. I'm getting jazzed up. Praise God. I hope God brought you some revelation. I hope you leave here with an understanding. God loves you no matter what. If you're having a bad day, self-inflicted or not, most of mine are self-inflicted, but honestly, occasionally they do happen unself-inflicted. You know, life happens and it's not self-inflicted. I'm always shooting myself. Ooh. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Ooh. I said I'm always shooting myself in the foot. It's a self-inflicted gunshot wound. But life ain't always self-inflicted. Sometimes things just happen or whatever. But I hope you know at least that. I mean, there's more. We want to grow in grace. We want to grow in knowledge. But at least I know that over the years, just like Dave, there's times that the thought crosses my mind. If you loved me, really loved me, this wouldn't be happening. It's not true. It's not. Maybe you don't understand. You know, God understands. You know, and we, as human beings, you know, that sometimes that feeling comes upon us. But don't give in to it. God, I know I might not understand this. But I know for a fact. I got faith in what your word says. I read all what Jesus went through. I even seen it on TV and on movies. And though I can never really fully understand, I got a picture of what you allowed your son to go through because you loved me. So no devil in hell is going to tell me that you don't love me. See, his love never fails. He never gives up. And he sure ain't never running out on you. Jason, can you guys come on up? We're going to sing this again. And I don't know what God's talking to you about. I don't know where you've been, what's happening. I don't know if maybe, like me, you've questioned God at times, and sometimes you thought that very thought I did and made a judgment against God, a false judgment that he didn't love you anymore. I mean, maybe you just want to say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me for that. Hey, it's just like that. He does. Or you just want God to touch you and want a fresh touch of his spirit. You know, we're up here. We're going to be up here to pray. Okay? We're going to be here. But we're going to have, Roy said that word, celebration. We're going to close out. We ain't going to dismiss the service per se. I'm going to tell you we're going to be dismissed. When you feel you got to go, when you want to go, when you're done, well, we're going to sing for a while. As long as them guys can hold up, we're going to sing. And we'll, you know, and you come to the altar, you come and rejoice, you come whatever, we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Okay? Can we do that? Let's rejoice in the fact that our God loves us and we got something to celebrate. Hallelujah. Amen.
Trial and love change. This one thing.
never runs out on you. His love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on you. His love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on you. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up. It never runs out on me.
Hallelujah. I just forgot one thing when I talked about what this song was. And I remembered it and I wanted to mention it. I don't want to go home feel like I didn't mention it. The song is called One Thing Remains. That's the title of the song, One Thing Remains. And that also is from 1 Corinthians 13. At the end of 1 Corinthians 13, it says, these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. One thing remains when everything else is said and done, and that's love. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord.